Amen. Revelation 20. A new age is coming now. We finished with the great tribulation period, and Jesus came back to this earth, defeated the enemies at the Battle of Armageddon. Jesus now will rule. Verse 1, then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Then, once Jesus defeated his foes, he returns to this earth with his saints. We came with him, remember that, and white horses. And the Antichrist and the false prophet were cast into the lake of fire. So sin has been judged. Evil's been taken care of. The Antichrist is put away into the lake of fire, Gehenna. The earth is purged. Then John sees this angel comes out of heaven with the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand, a big chain. Someone's in trouble. We read in Revelation 9. In Revelation 9, we read where one came down from heaven with the key to the bottomless pit and opened it. And the plagues came upon the earth. Not good things down in that pit. Smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace, and demonic beings came out. The bottomless pit, or shaft of the abyss, abuso is the word, the abyss in Greek, a place in the center of the earth. Temporary evil place. It's not hell. It's this temporary evil place, the abuso. Now, the angel having the key to this place comes carrying a great chain in his hand. And he's here to restrain, to bind. Who? Verse 2. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. The word bound means to restrain. He takes this chain, and who does he get with it? You notice three words here. The dragon, the serpent, who is the devil. And then, of course, it's Satan. And binds him for 1,000 years. The serpent of old. Remember the serpent in the Garden of Eden? From the beginning. That's a name for him. The devil. That word means the accuser. He's the accuser of the brethren. And Satan, which means adversary. So he's all those things. And it tells us here in verse 3, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him, so that he should not deceive the nations no more, should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. So we see the devil does roam and deceive people, because it tells us here, when he's shut up, he won't be able to deceive the nations anymore. You know, we blame a lot of things on the devil. One thing for sure, he does deceive. He does attack. And he rips people apart. But he's shut up in this pit for 1,000 years. So this pit, the abuso, is a temporary place. Gehenna, which is called, we'll see in here, the lake of fire, is that permanent place. You know, in Luke 8, verse 26, when the demons were cast out of the swine, they says, oh, don't cast us out. We don't want to go into the abyss, the same word. They knew they're going to be in that holding place and bound there for 1,000 years. They don't want to go there. So he was sealed, shut him up, a seal was on him, and he couldn't deceive people anymore for 1,000 years. But the sad news is he's going to be released after 1,000 years for a little while. No more deceiving the nations for this 1,000-year period. He's going to be bound, which means he won't be around deceiving people, attacking people. And this is the time that Jesus returns to rule with a rod of iron. The Antichrist is in the lake of fire forever. The earth is purged. Satan is now bound for 1,000 years. Now there will be peace on earth. We'll really be able to sing those Christmas songs. Peace on earth. There'll be peace on earth. No deceit. Jesus will rule us for 1,000 years. We call that the millennium. The millennium. Or people call it the kingdom age. The 1,000 years is millennium. It means 1,000 in Latin. So he's bound for 1,000 years in this kingdom age. The 1,000-year rule here on earth of Jesus Christ, a rule of righteousness, a rule of peace, no deceit, no devil. It's a time to restore the devastated earth. After we've read all these chapters in Revelation, the earth is a mess. And it's going to be restored. Isn't that wonderful? Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 2, please. Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days. Aren't you glad everything comes to pass? This is going to come to pass. It's going to happen. And this is what's going to happen. It shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills. And all nations shall flow to it. Many people will come up and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways. We will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Isn't that great? Jesus is going to be the teacher. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Isn't that wonderful? Not going to prepare for war anymore. That's the kind of rule it'll be. A new temple for worship, all coming to worship at the temple. He shall judge the nations. Not the courts, but the Lord will judge the nations. And no war. This is future. And we can see that it's near. There is war now. We're not in this period now. Isaiah 35, if you turn there. Isaiah 35. And you can read that on your own. It talks more about it. How it will be, how the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. There'll be a highway there called the Highway of Holiness. It's going to be great. You can read that chapter on your own, the whole chapter. It's going to be wonderful. And soon, very soon, according to biblical facts. You know, it's called the millennium. According to biblical history, we're in the seventh millennium. 4,000 years BC, Adam and Eve in the garden, 4,000 years ago. 2,000 passed since Jesus came into this world. We're now in the seventh. This could be the millennium. We're just in the beginning of it. It could be. But you know what? The number seven in the Bible is completeness. And a lot of things point to that. We're living in that time where a lot of these things could very well happen fast now. And being that seventh millennium here, the time of peace, the perfectness, completeness, which the number of seven, you know, even in God, rested on the seventh day. You know, that's a good question to ask kids or people. How long did it take the Lord to create the earth? And some people say 7 days. No, six. He took a break on the seventh. Rested on the seventh. It's always a time of peace, of rest, of completeness. So, redemption, set free. In Old Testament, things could be redeemed in the seventh year and get them back or redeem them. And so, John sees all of this. And then in verse 4, he also saw thrones. I saw thrones, and they sat on them, and judgment was committed to them. Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast of or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay. A couple of groups here. First group, I saw thrones and they that sat on them. If go back to Revelation 3, verse 21, please. Revelation 3, verse 21. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. And he's speaking to the church, speaking to believers. So who is this first group? Turn to 1 Corinthians 6. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 2. Paul writes, do you not know that the saints, who are the saints? Believers, will judge the world. And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters, you know, now here on earth? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2. Verse 11. This is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. So who is the first group? Saw the thrones and they that sat on them? The church. We're coming back with Jesus and we're going to rule and reign with Jesus. That'll be so great. There'll be no unfaithfulness to the Lord. People will have to obey. We'll be the enforcers. I don't know how that's going to work, but we'll be ruling with him. People won't be able to do evil. It's going to be a reign of righteousness. But we'll see. It doesn't mean there won't be people here that have to do it but really don't want to do it. The good thing is they'll have to do it while they're here. Saints will be on the throne. And who else did he see there in verse 4? Then I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their witness to Jesus and for the word of God, who had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or on their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Isn't that good news? The tribulation saints that died for their faith, they're also going to rule and reign with us. That's wonderful. Martyrs, beheaded. They didn't take the mark. They died. Now, that means that when Jesus comes back and starts his rule, all the unbelievers will be taken care of. Probably going to this place, we'll read of Hades, which is the holding tank for the unbeliever. All believers will be with the Lord. But then there will be people born. People often wonder, where are people going to come from in the millennium? Life will still go on. We will be in our heavenly bodies ruling with him. You know how Jesus just would walk into a room and startled his disciples? They saw him. They knew him. Apparently, we'll have that power because we'll rule and reign with him. But there will be people left here on the earth when the battle of Armageddon ends, probably all believers, but there will be people born, probably right from day one. You know, there'll be people will enter into the millennium and bear children, multiply during the 1,000-year reign. You know how many children you could have when you live to be, you know, 1,000 years or you live old? That's when you read Genesis, they had a lot of people. And so the population is going to multiply, you know, and so people will be born on this earth. There'll be great conditions. People will live long. But believers, we're going to enter in with our new bodies. You know, when you read Matthew 25, you read about Jesus then separating the sheep from the goats. The goats are going to be taken care of and judged. The sheep enter in. Enter into his kingdom. And those Jewish believers and those that witness for him. But the rest of the dead, verse 5, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Then the first resurrection has been going on. All believers. And then the end of it is right here. All these people are with the Lord. But those that are unbelievers are going to be awaiting judgment. We're going to see at the end of this chapter. When it says they don't live again, it means they're waiting. They've lost their bodies, but their soul is being kept for judgment, for eternity. You know, this is just a tent. I often wonder about that. This is just a tent. The me is inside of here. Strange, isn't it? Like, the real me is just this covering people think is me, but the real me is in here. And so the rest of the dead, the unbelievers throughout the ages that have died, the unrighteous dead probably kept in that compartment of Hades where the unrighteous await judgment, they don't rise again or live again until the 1,000 years are over. We're reading about the first resurrection. All of us who believe, you know, are going to rule and reign here. And the good news is the rest of the dead did not live until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. But blessed and holy who has part in the first resurrection, us, we're with the Lord. We're risen with Christ and ruling. Blessed and holy are we. Why? Because over such, over us, the second death has no power. And we'll read about the second death. You know, it's going to be a judgment. There's going to be another death. The second death has no power. Why? Because they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. We're settled. We're going to forever be with the Lord. We're not going to go through anything else again. We're settled. We're part of that first resurrection of believers, and it's been going on, and those that have been martyred. People want to be in that first resurrection because blessed are you, so you won't be in that second death we'll be reading of. Now, this is going to be a reign of righteousness here. Doors will be unlocked. We don't have to worry about anybody stealing anything. Won't that be great? Verse 7. However, when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison. Isn't that sad? And people say, why this? To show us the heart of man. When the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from his prison, which tells us Satan is the one that has a grip on a lot of people. When we see the stuff we see today, it's evil. It's from Satan. It's just plain evil. It's not a sickness. It's not anything else. It's plain evil. It's just evil because he's bound, things are okay. He's released, guess what? Things can get bad again. It's all this stuff is powered by Satan, this bad stuff. So he's released. He's going to roam one more time on this earth. And guess what his first order of business is? Fill up hell. Get more people. Go out to deceive. And will go out to deceive the nations. That's what he does. He's going to deceive the nations which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. That's not to be taken as the Ezekiel 38 and 39, where we read about those people from the north coming to attack Israel, Gog and Magog. And it's interesting. It's like Turkey and Iraq and Iran and all these places. Do you see what's happening today? Every day you look at who's aligning with who out there. And especially Turkey now aligning with that. And I'm saying to myself, that's the prophecy in Ezekiel. That's exactly. And one commentator, we mentioned it yesterday, when we get our troops out of there, they're going to build a highway from there down to where they want to be, right to get to Israel. They'll have clear sailing. You say, people don't read the Bible. I guess they're doing it because God's allowing it to be done, you know. But they should be thinking, wow. That there will be a highway going right down where all those troops are going to go down and attack them. You know, it's just all aligned. But when it says Gog and Magog here, those words can also mean nations. Unbelieving nations. These are the unbelieving nations from the four corners of the earth. They're going to go down there. And he's going to gather them to battle, whose number is as the sea. So that's quite a few people. Their number is as the sand of the sea. That amazes me. Does that amaze you? After living in a perfect environment for 1,000 years with all your needs met, you're living for 1,000 years, perfect conditions in the environment, true righteousness, holiness. There's going to be multitudes aligned with Satan. And they didn't like it, having to obey Jesus. You see, while he was ruling and reigning and we were with him, they had to live this way. Crime won't be allowed. You know, lifespans will be great. In Isaiah 65:20, it says, a child shall die at 100 years old. Called a child. Living conditions will be great. People will live long. We, the church, will not die because we'll be in our new bodies. And we're going to be there the whole 1,000 years. And things will be great. And the population is going to grow. It's really going to grow. But they had to obey and listen to Jesus. But when given the option to obey or not obey, many will disobey. Just like a child that's raised in the right environment, but as soon as they get the opportunity to choose, they can go the other way. It'd be the same here at the end of the millennium. They don't want someone telling them what to do. They would rather sin, and they turn in their heart. You know, the word is choice. They were allowed, once Satan was released, to choose whether they want to live for the Lord or not, or follow the Lord or not. They choose to rebel. Their hearts will be exposed. And it's so true, when a man has a choice, we see where the heart is. When you're forced to do something, you really don't know. But that's why being a born-again Christian, God has made it man's free choice to accept grace or not accept grace. They'd be miserable in heaven. They don't want to live that way. See, God allows choice because if God is love, and do you know what he desires? Love. Just like us. He desires love. But how can you know who loves you unless they're allowed the choice to love you? You don't want a bunch of dolls that you can wind up and say, I love you, I love you, I love you. You want the real thing. That's why God allows it, because he's love and he desires love and to be loved. So a person, each person in life, has to be allowed to make their choice, even at the end of the millennium. They're allowed to make their choice. No, I don't want to love or live for God. I want to do my own thing. I love myself more. So what's going to happen to these people? Verse 9, he gathers this multitude. They went up on the breadth of the earth, surrounded the camp of the saints, it's Jerusalem, and the beloved city. So they're going to attack the Lord where he is in Jerusalem. Now, is that silly? They didn't learn at the Battle of Armageddon? And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. Another quick battle. They go through all the trouble of gathering the troops, getting there, and guess what? Just like that, they're devoured. You can't win against God. Did you ever wonder how much time we waste when we just don't flow with God? Put a lot of work and effort into certain things, and then you look back and say, that was stupid. I should have just went to God. While we were singing that song, you're all I need, you're all I ever wanted. It says, you're all I needed. I believe that's what the song says. You're all I needed, not all I need. I don't know if you caught that. It's like the person who wrote this looking back at his life and saying, did I waste a lot of time? When I look back, that was stupid. You're all I ever needed, and you're all I want now. I just caught that tonight. I always kind of sing, you're all I need. And you can catch yourself doing that. But it says, you're all I ever needed. And if I could picture the writer and myself looking back and saying, oh man, realistically, I've come to this point and I look back, all I ever needed was the Lord. Isn't that great? So the battle, it changes, God wins. They march on Jerusalem, they lose. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Boy, that's filling up pretty good, the lake of fire, huh? With some good people down there. The lake of fire, you don't want to be there. The lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. And they will be tormented day and night for how long? Forever and ever. For those people that don't believe in an eternal hell, it's a lot of places in the Bible, forever and ever. Or as kids would say today, in what? Past infinity, I don't know the term they use now. But it's no longer infinity, it's something beyond infinity. Forever and ever. That's a long time. See, everyone has to go somewhere for eternity. And if not heaven, there's a hotel called the Lake of Fire. And that's where they have to go. Now the great white throne judgment. Sad thing. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. This is the great white throne judgment, the final judgment of God on man. I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it. Who is the him? The Son, Jesus. In John 5:22, we are told, for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. John 5:22. Of course, he's God. So you see the terms interchangeable. But for the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son. Now to think of people standing in judgment before the great white throne in eternity with no excuses, no place to hide, is really what it means. There's no place to hide. Heaven and earth fled away. It's just you and heaven and the Lord, and just you and the Lord, and there was found no place for them. You can't hide or anything. Would that be scary? Wow. And you know you're guilty. All, and I saw the dead, small and great. See, now they're brought back out of the Hades, and the dead, small and great, standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. So all the dead, all the unrighteous dead, small and great, doesn't matter what you did in life. The books were opened, a book of works. I don't want to be judged by my works. A book of works, each person. Basis of judgment is works they did here. And they rejected the Savior. They rejected the Savior, the one good work that Jesus told us about. What is the work of God? John 6:29, to believe on him whom he sent, Jesus. That's the work of God. So books were open. That's sad. But another book was open, which is the book of life. Ah. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books of works. So I'm glad we're not going to be there. That's an account of the works of all. Now, this is what blows my mind. See, God has eternity because he lives outside of time. He's going to take the time, though, to let each person, if they want, defend themselves before him. How long do you think that would take? Okay, let's turn to your name right here. He didn't have to do this. But we see two things in this chapter. You can live in the greatest environment in the world, have the best home in the world, the best parents in the world, the best brothers and sisters in the world, the best job in the world, the best health in the world, and still fail and fall in sin and reject God. We saw that after the 1,000-year reign. Devil came out, they chose to rebel. That means that no one can use an excuse that, well, you don't know my environment, or the way I was raised, or this dysfunctional family I had, and go on and on and on. People like to use excuses and blame people because they don't want to accept responsibility for themselves. See, this is a personal relationship, and people don't like that. They like to blame someone, because if they don't, guess who's wrong? They are. That's the natural man. And they don't like to admit they were wrong. You see, but we see that under perfect conditions, multitudes will still rebel. So that gets rid of all the excuses. And I believe that's one reason why God allowed that. That gets rid of anyone being able to say, yeah, but life is not fair. You don't know what I went through in my past. But God does. And secondly, how long-suffering God is, he will still go through the books and judge them according to that. No one, what does it mean? No one will be able to say, God's not fair. God's not fair. He's not just. And that's what it'll do. Then the sea gave up the dead who were in it, you know, people that died and are in the sea. And death and Hades, people that died in Hades where the unrighteous were kept, delivers up the dead who are in them. They're all going to stand before God, and they were judged, each one according to his works. That's sad. But they're all going to be delivered up before God and be judged. The dead, ones in Hades, the people that died, buried in the sea, wherever they were, they're going to be judged. And then death and Hades were cast. Where did these people go? Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. More people there now. Gehenna. That's the second death. See, they died just to go and wait for judgment, came back. Now they're judged, and they're dead forever now. Death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. It's been said, if you're born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're only going to die once. And then we have part of the first resurrection. See, the people that aren't born again, they're only born once and not born again. They're going to die twice, physically and spiritually. But those that are born twice, born physically and of the spirit, only die once with the physical body, but then go on to live in eternity. This makes it clear no one's works are good enough to save them. Because verse 15, and anyone not found written in the book of life, and how do you get in the book of life? We've gone over that many times, by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, believing in and following him. You're born of the Spirit. Anyone not found written in that book, when you gave your life to Jesus, was cast into the lake of fire. That makes it pretty clear. You know, if you ever want to share the gospel with somebody, just share Revelation 20:15. Hey, if you're not written in the book of life, you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. That's being very blunt, but it's true. So where do you want to go? God's got a way to avoid the lake of fire. But it's very clear. Anyone not found written, well, how do I get written in the book of life? Then you can share the gospel. Well, you have to repent, confess, believe, receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you'll be written in the book of life, and you won't be cast in the lake of fire. God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your grace and your mercy, for your faithfulness, for your justice. And we just pray, Lord, that tonight we would be at peace as we see things coming to an end and prophecy fulfilled. We pray that our hearts would be grieving in this world and for people we know, but rejoicing over the fact you're coming soon. Let us know, Lord, you'll never leave us or forsake us. You keep us unspotted from the world. Lord, we look forward to the great day that you rapture us, but also each day we're alive here, a day we can use for your glory. You've blessed us, Lord. We thank you for that. Use us. And we pray that in Jesus' name, amen.